FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. In fact, more and more of you are watching, tens of thousands of you every month. It's great to have you on here. And well, we'd love to get your feedback first and foremost. And the email address is kl@carrylutz.com. Our good friend, John Rubino of dollarcollapse.com is with us now. And John, like, I'm looking at our list of items here, and you just cannot make this stuff up. Hey, I'm going to go to the top of the list, or maybe it's the bottom. Did you see Tesla today? 2100 it hit, and then it pulled back to the 1900s, which means our Tesla to gold ratio for the first time ever is 1-to-1.
You know, I'm so glad I didn't get to short that, because I tried a while back.
$25 billion in losses on the shorts.
Yeah, so I was almost among those guys. But the reason that it was hard to short Tesla is because everybody was trying to short it by buying long-dated puts. And that made the put premiums explode. In other words, you had to pay a huge amount of money over and above the intrinsic value of the put to be able to short Tesla. So I didn't do it, but I really, you know, I thought they were a classic short. What, 500 points?
Yeah, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Okay, but see, Tesla is a symptomatic of what's happening with the stock market right now, where breadth is changing in a really negative way. Because normally, in a healthy bull market, you've got a lot of stocks going up because the economy is improving and lots of companies are reporting better earnings and lots of people are buying the stocks because of that. But what's happening now is the vast majority, like 495 stocks on the S&P 500 are down in the last year, even though the S&P 500 is at record levels. And the improvement in that broad stock index is all because of a handful of big tech stocks. Where all the money is pouring in and nobody's investing in these other stocks. So, you know, we've seen that historically a few times in the past. And every single time it's preceded a huge crash in the stock market, because it's unnatural for just a handful of stocks to dictate the direction of these broad markets, which means, you know, those handful of stocks are wildly overvalued. And right now their valuation, this is basically the FANG stocks, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Apple. But their valuation is, in relation to their earnings and their sales, the highest any small group of stocks have ever seen. You know, they're the leaders of the market. So if that indicator, if narrowing breadth still means anything in this world, then these guys are headed for a really dramatic drop at some point in the not too distant future. Now, do you want to bet on that? You know, I kind of am. I bought some NASDAQ puts, which you can buy. You know, the premiums aren't outrageous on them in anticipation of this happening. But whether it happens in the short run or not depends on the other big story for this week, which is the Fed. They're having a meeting, and Powell, the chair of the Fed, is going to make a speech about the Fed's new stance on inflation. Now, they floated a trial balloon a while back saying that they were probably going to not just accept higher rates of inflation, but actively try to engineer them. And that's pretty controversial. So it's not clear whether they're going to come out now and say it officially. But if they do, then that's a huge deal. You know, if the Fed's going to try for 3, 4, 5% inflation, that completely changes our world. And if they don't, you know, if they can't, if Powell comes out and takes that back and says, now we're going to stick with 2% inflation, we're happy with where we are, blah, 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 then that's dangerous for the financial assets that have been bid up in anticipation of the Fed going, you know, all out for higher inflation. So that could be the thing that that pricks the stock market bubble. If the Fed tries to, you know, not tighten, they're never going to tighten again, but if they don't aggressively increase their inflationary objectives, then maybe the markets will take that as a sign that these stocks are overvalued and sell them off. But the Fed has to do something. And I think the reason that they're talking up inflation right now is they're pretty desperate because the economy is not growing the way it ought to, coming out of really what was the worst quarter in financial history. You know, the U.S. economy contracted at a, what was it in the end, like a 35% annual rate?
Annual rate, 11%, but 35% or 33%, 32.9% annualized rate.
Yeah.
Which is pretty outrageous.
That's depression level stuff. And everybody thought, well, the recovery, you know, the stock or the economy will bounce back immediately and cancel out that one really bad quarter. But that's not really happening because a lot of places are extending their lockdowns or reimposing lockdowns because, you know, they send the kids back to school at Michigan State or wherever, and then a bunch of kids get sick and then they have to send them home and go to virtual classes and but they're charging the same tuition. You know, it's really chaotic. And retailers are closing at an accelerating rate and commercial real estate is tanking and cities are emptying out because no one wants to live in a place where there could be a pandemic or there could be catastrophic riots. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening that's complicating this recovery and that would normally lead the Fed to want to ease, but they've already eased pretty aggressively. So, you know, their next step is to go to negative interest rates.
Or buy stocks. Yeah,
or actively buy equities. But
and they might be, they've always been doing it behind the scenes since they created the plunge protection team. But now they're already buying corporate debt. So we talked about this. The next step is buy stocks. And, you know, I wrote an article today about that very issue you just raised of social unrest in the cities. And the title was, you know, my police still make house calls, yours. Because basically the cops just aren't coming anywhere. They're like batting down the hatches. They're too busy fighting off rioters that want to burn down and destroy the police stations. So they don't really have any time to go do their function, which is purportedly to protect and serve. They're just trying to protect themselves and not get killed. And then the flight of people tiring from law enforcement is just beyond the pale. You take all these things into consideration and really, I don't know how the Democrats think that supporting rather tacitly or implicitly, explicitly supporting rioting mobs is a winner at the polls, but they must have something up their sleeves. And hey, just going back though, so big city taxes, they can't figure out how to cut costs. All they can figure out how to do is raise taxes. That sound familiar?
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of a death spirally thing right now for these guys because people are moving out, which shrinks the tax base. But the needs are basically growing in part because of the riots and in part because cities are just deteriorating. You know, they've neglected their infrastructure maintenance while overpromising on public sector pensions. So all their money that, you know, all the tax money that comes in is going to public sector retirees and there's nothing left.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah.
For now, there's going to be a time where they default.
Well,
sell them back.
But I mean, they're raising taxes in order to plug that hole, which sends even more people out to the suburbs or to homesteads or to lower tax states or whatever. You know, people are just leaving cities as taxes go up. So Chicago's the poster child for this process, where they raise massive taxes and they promise that's it. You know, that will fix the pension issue and everything else. But it turns out that it doesn't even come close. It's like 1/4 of what they actually needed. So they got to come back and raise taxes again, but more people leave then. And so it's kind of a treadmill that you can never get off of once you start that. But the nice thing about this is that cities are self-correcting mechanisms, because we can leave, you know, if cities are mismanaged,
vote with your feet.
Just leave. Yeah, you vote with your feet. And cities are forced to adapt to that. They either have to get their act together, or they can literally empty out. I mean, you know, at Chicago's current trajectory, it won't even be the biggest town in Illinois at some point in the not too distant future. Hey. You know, it's just going to people will continue to leave until the only people left are the ones who aren't paying taxes, and then the city goes bankrupt. You know, it becomes like Detroit was for a while. You know, Detroit got their act together to an extent, and they're not the poster child anymore for this kind of stuff. Now it's Chicago, but a lot of other cities are in the same boat.
And Detroit didn't have riots either. Their police department put a lid on it early on, or maybe there was nothing left to steal there. I don't know what the question, I don't know for what reason, but basically the riots didn't arrive in Detroit as in the rest of the cities. You know, other cities, John, like Seattle and Portland, had good infrastructure. They were newer cities. They were flourishing cities. Even Minneapolis, I always said it was declining, but traditional blue-collar employment was declining. The city itself was doing pretty well. They're the headquarters for Target and for other major retailers, and the city was doing well. But now, forget it. It's the last person who leaves, please turn off the lights. And this is a total failure of leadership and of competence. And maybe even this is what they wanted, to fail, to see their states and their cities fail. I mean, when you watch a Ted Wheeler allow people to attack government buildings, police buildings with impunity, doing absolutely nothing, and then the governor of the state does nothing to remove him or to send in the guard to stop it. You got to believe this is part of an overall plan, John.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by GR Silver Mining. Ticker symbol TSX, GRSL, OTC, GRSLF, and their website at grsilvermining.com. The company is extremely well capitalized, currently has a resource of 40 million ounces of silver, and is looking to triple that number in just the next year alone. Its management team is first rate, headed up by Marcio Fonseca, a geologist with vast experience in mining operations and the financial sector as well. With all this going for it, and with silver trading over $25 the ounce, there's no telling how high GR Silver Mining will go. So go to grsilvermining.com to stay up to date on the latest developments and get on their notification list today.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I kind of see incompetence and political calculation in all of this, but I think there is an overall plan, you know, and the overall plan is on the part of the aristocracy to bleed us dry, then foment civil unrest where you pit different groups of peasants against each other, and then declare martial law because of that. And then really accelerate the process of siphoning wealth. Because, you know, if in Portland, for instance, right now, we've got protesters and counter-protesters.
We got rioters and counter-rioters.
Okay.
They aren't protesters. Well, we're past the point of protesting, John.
But I mean, they're turning into street fights now.
Brawls, yeah.
Yeah, which is a pretext. If that kind of thing spreads, that's a pretext for some kind of martial law. And that would then allow the governments of the world to push interest rates down even further into negative territory, which what that does, see, that's the big deal. You know, these protests and riots and civil unrest and things that are happening in cities are kind of symptoms of this bigger problem. And the biggest thing that they're doing is manipulating interest rates in order to enrich the already rich at the expense of everybody else. Because artificially low interest rates make it impossible for regular people to save and generate any money on their savings, or for retirees to survive on safe investments. So they're basically draining wealth out of those groups and into the pockets of the guys who own the high powered equities, which are going up like crazy in a lower interest rate environment. And
it's a double whammy.
Yeah. Yeah. But the final stage of that might be when, you know, these riots get out of control on a scale that allows the federal government to justify martial law. And then allows the Fed to justify, you know, negative 3 or 4% interest rates and massive equity buying, quantitative easing, which would basically allow the, you know, the 1% to siphon everything out of the rest of us. And then, you know, the country descends into chaos and they fly off to their end of the world bunkers in New Zealand. and you know, watch it from afar. And see, that's really the scary scenario. And, you know, it's becoming more and more plausible. I know that sounds crazy. You know, it sounds crazy.
No, not at all.
Something like that, but.
Not at all. But, hey, and, you know, we'd be remiss because you mentioned New Zealand, have to mention China, what's going on there, flooding there, the biblical floods. They're, you know, first they're saying 100-year floods. Now, we're looking at probably once in a thousand year flooding that's taken place there, and all of the modern developments of life have made the flooding even worse, because deforestation, pulling out the foliage, expansion of urban areas. I don't want to get into the whole green thing, but the fact is, the less natural habitat there is to soak up the water, it's going to go someplace. And it's going now. It's big. So we've got that with potential collapse of the Three Gorges Dam. I'm going to do an update on that, by the way. All these things combined. And then we got like the weirdest hurricane formation ever. Had you ever heard of the Fujimura effect, John, before this weekend?
I still hadn't heard of it till you just said it.
You didn't hear of it? So no. What it is when two hurricanes are close together, and they're going to strike the same place, if one of several scenarios can happen. One is that one is weaker than the other and the stronger one will absorb it. One is that they're both strong and they will merge into one superstorm, or they kind of go about their merry way and never the twain shall meet. And that's called the Fujimura effect. And I had never heard of it. I mean, you know, this is the great thing about the internet. You learn new things all the time. The last time it happened, John, you could get a kick out of this, was in 1959 when we were in like diapers. And before that, in 1933. So it doesn't happen often. It looks like it's not going to happen this time. Looks like there's enough distance between the two storms, but they're both hitting the Gulf Coast at virtually the same time, which is going to wreak a little havoc and perhaps interfere with energy production, gasoline refineries in Texas, Louisiana, et cetera.
Well, yeah, and it presents an unusual challenge, which is how do you handle a mass evacuation during a pandemic? You know, do you try to social distance tens of thousands of people when you're putting them in stadiums, or, you know, New Orleans gets hit again?
Just pretend it's a riot and don't worry about it. Yeah, it's a political activity, like Trump said. You're allowed to abandon social distancing when there's a riot or political activity. So just pretend it's political.
Yeah.
Hey, and last but not least, virtual truancy is on the rise, John. What are we going to do? We're going to have virtual truancy officers who chase down the virtual truants and hold them up, haul them into cyber court? Hey, what's the world coming to here?
Well, apparently they're doing that already. If your kid doesn't log into a virtual high school class, let's say, they'll track you down and ask you why, you know, and then hit you with penalties if your kid is a truant. And, you know, a couple of things there. First of all, imagine if you're a single mom and you've got to go to your job at Walmart, but you know, how do you, you can't get childcare for your kid because the daycare centers or, you know, whatever else they might go to are closed down or aren't taking anybody else or whatever. And then your kids aren't going to school. So they're doing virtual classes, but you aren't there to keep track of whether they're on the virtual classes. You know, it's just a, it's a nightmare for a lot of people.
Yeah. And, total nightmare.
And, you know, my kids did online classes in high school. They had that option and they chose it. And those classes were terrible. There was nobody keeping track of them, you know, handing in homework or anything. So they put everything off till right at the end and had to spend like 2 weeks doing nothing but write term papers for these classes. It was, and I don't think they learned much of anything because it was feast or famine. You know, they didn't do anything for a long time and then that's all they did. But, I hope the new virtual classes are a lot better than the old ones were, because those things were useless. And imagine if you got a kid in college and they're doing online classes from their bedroom in your house, but they're charging you full tuition. You know, there aren't many colleges that can get away with that. Why, you know, supposedly half the colleges are on the verge of bankruptcy right now in the U.S.
Yeah, and, Harvard deferments are at a record because people are saying, why spend $75,000 a year when just go on the internet and watch TED Talks all day. The kid will probably get a better education than online classes. I will put in a good word for online classes, though, because I learned how to podcast from the podcast answer man, Cliff Ravenscraft, using an online course. And obviously, I wasn't going for a degree or credit. It cost me like $1,000. Totally worth the money. And good thing is, when they give you materials like YouTube's videos and other things, you can keep playing them and watching them. Even when we'd meet one day a week on a virtual phone call, just a phone call, not even a Zoom. Because back then, 10 years ago, we didn't really have Zoom like teleconferencing like today. So if you're motivated, it could be very effective. But if you're some like 15-year-old kid who's more concerned about checking out porn sites than about doing your virtual class, then it's probably not going to be very effective unless there's a means of accountability. And that seems to be kind of the missing piece from the puzzle, John. And maybe that's where the virtual truant officer comes into play.
So there are...
Shut off your porn and shut off all of your social media and haul you into a virtual court where you will get a sentence of suspension of all social media. And you know, maybe this is what we need to do, where the powers that be can shut you down if you don't comply.
Well, you know, yeah, we shouldn't make this all gloom and doom, because there are growth sectors in the economy. And I guess virtual truant officer is a pretty hot job category now, probably, right? So,
hey, well, yeah. It's probably better than a virtual pooper scooper like they had in San Francisco. Like now with the COVID, they can't even pick up the poop anymore. So there's a lot of jobs that can be made virtual here, and we're just not seeing the light, unfortunately. But discussion for another day, John. Check out John's site, which of course is the venerable dollarcollapse.com. We're financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletters. Got one going out shortly. John, we will catch up with you next Monday.
All right, Kerry, see ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.